In the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and I always like to remind us that we are in the third month or the second month going to the third month of the year. Yes, time indeed flies so quickly, and very soon one quarter of the year will have been gone. Did you realize that? So fast. Now the question that we need to ask ourselves is, what are we doing in the way of serving the Lord? Will we be able to give a good account of ourselves when the Lord returns? We pray, I pray, and I trust all of us here are praying that we will all do well so that when the Lord comes again, we may all be able to hear Him say to us, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Are you working towards that day, my dear friends, to hear Him say those wonderful words to you? I trust all of us are doing our very best to witness for Him, so that when He comes again, we need not be ashamed. Now, the topic this morning is faith. What sort of faith? What sort of faith? Now, we want to talk about the faith of this woman by the name of Martha. Now, this family, we talked about this last week, live in Bethany, and this family comprised three members: Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. Now, this family was very hospitable to the Lord Jesus Christ, and it was very, very likely that each time the Lord Jesus Christ visited the city of Jerusalem, He would have stopped at this home. Now, this was the family that the Lord Jesus Christ loved. And then Lazarus was sick, and the two sisters had sent this message to the Lord Jesus Christ to tell the Lord Jesus Christ that their brother was sick. The intention was, of course, to ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come quickly to Bethany to heal their brother. Yes, now at that time, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was ministering on the bank of the River Jordan, some distance away from the village of Bethany. But the Lord, as we know from last time, did not respond immediately to the call to come to Bethany, or at least He didn't appear to respond. He stayed in the by the bank of the River Jordan for another 2 days. And by the time He came to the village of Bethany, the village in which Lazarus, Mary, and Martha lived, Lazarus had already died for 4 days. Now, the delay, as we understood from the last time, that it was really for a good purpose. It was to show that the Lord Jesus Christ had the power to raise people from the dead. And it was also to demonstrate the truth that the Lord Jesus Christ claimed about Himself. And the truth is this: the Lord Jesus Christ, remember, said this, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in Me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in Me shall never die." So His delay in coming was to prove that He was and He is indeed the resurrection and the life. And then we see today, we are going to see today, that the delay was really also very, very purposeful, in that it was meant to test and to strengthen the faith of Martha. Yes, and that's what we want to focus on this morning, Martha's faith. And I've got 3 points this morning. First of all, the weakness of Martha's faith. And number two, the basis of Martha's faith. And number three, the testing and the strengthening of Martha's faith. So first, the weakness of Martha's faith. Verse 21, John 11, verse 21. "Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." Now, generally speaking, the faith of these two sisters and this brother was by no means weak compared to other people. It was quite strong faith. They knew the Lord and they trusted Him. And here Martha showed that he trusts the Lord, but only to the extent that if the Lord was present, her brother would not have died. Yes, she believed that the Lord Jesus Christ had the power to heal him. But now that the brother was dead, to her, the Lord Jesus Christ was late in coming. And so she said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Now her faith, as we can see, was actually limited by space or limited by distance, if you like. Lord, you were somewhere else. If you were here, my brother would not have died. It is like a, you might say, like a situation in the office in which a very, very important decision had to be or has to be made. But the big boss is away, and the big boss cannot be contacted, and nobody is able to make that decision. And that decision is to clinch a great business deal. But because the boss is not around, the company loses out in that deal. And all the employees in the company would lament, oh, what a shame, what a shame. The boss is not around. That is why we could not clinch the deal. That's why we lost the deal. Yes. Now, doesn't this statement of Martha's show how lacking in faith she was? Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. To her, the Lord must be around. If the Lord wasn't around, yes, then the brother would have died. But if he was around, the brother might not have died. So the Lord must be around. Just like in that office, I said, talk about the boss had to be around to make the decision. Now the question is, must the Lord be physically present for the brother to be healed? Now what do you think? Must he be physically present? Of course not. Now you recall the case of this servant of the Roman centurion. Remember that? His servant was sick. And then as the centurion went out to meet the Lord Jesus Christ to ask him to come to his house to heal his servant. But then he realized, the Lord Jesus Christ was a man of power, of man of supreme authority. And so he told the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, you don't have to come to my house. You just have to give the word, and my servant will be healed. I understand this because I'm a centurion. I'm a first man of authority. I just have to give the word, and the work will be done. Likewise, Lord, you just have to give the word, and my servant will be healed. You don't have to come to my house. And Jesus commended the faith of this Roman centurion. And so he said to him, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. At that very time when he uttered the words, the word for the servant to be healed, the servant was healed. So the space or the distance between the servant of the centurion and Lord Jesus Christ didn't prevent the Lord Jesus Christ from healing this servant. Yes, so space does not matter as far as the Lord Jesus Christ is concerned. So you see, the truth is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is not limited by space. Our Lord is omniscient. Our Lord is omnipotent. He knows everything and He's all-powerful. Nothing is impossible with Him. Sure, he was at that time present in the Jordan region, yes. But did he not already know that Lazarus was sick and Lazarus was dying even before he received the message from the two sisters? Did he not already know? Of course he knew, yes. And he did not, and did he not have the power to heal that Lazarus from that distance? Of course he had that power, but Martha seemed not to have the faith that the Lord Jesus Christ was able to heal from that distance. To her, the Lord Jesus Christ must be present. Now let us understand, friends, that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is omnipresent. He is not limited by space, not by distance. He is present with us today in the person of the Holy Spirit. Do you believe that, friends? That He's present today, that He's in our midst, present in us in the person of the Holy Spirit. And how far is He away from us, friends? How far? As we said many times before, He is only a prayer away. That is how far He is from us. Yes? But we say that we believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is omnipresent, He is omnipotent, and He is omniscient. But if we say that, how come, my dear friends, we are not praying as often as we should be praying? If we do believe that He's omnipresent, omnipotent, omniscient, then we must be praying very often. But we are not. Yes, when we are faced with a problem or a challenge to solve and a challenge to face, what do? The very first thing that we do is to look within ourselves for strength to meet the challenge and for wisdom to solve the problem. Isn't it very true? The very first thing that we do is to look within ourselves. Friends, let us learn to do this. The very first thing that we should do is to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ for help. Let's believe that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is not limited by space. He is near us, within us, in us. Let us straight away turn to Him for help if we have a problem, if we have a challenge to face. Now, while we know that the Lord is near, let us watch it, that we not behave like some charismatics who believe that you can literally feel the physical presence of the Lord Jesus Christ in the person of the Holy Spirit. Charismatics believe that. Some, yes. I remember years ago this preacher missionary whom we came to be acquainted with. I think I might have talked about him before. He was the one who was a charming fellow, very charismatic, a very, very dynamic speaker. And we were young at that time, and so we were very easily influenced by such a person. And then he gave us this testimony. He said one day while he was driving across the desert in Arizona, and in that long stretch of highway, he said he felt very, very dull and felt very, very bored. And then all of a sudden, he felt that the Holy Spirit was sitting next to him in the car, he said. He felt the presence of the Holy Spirit physically. Yes, my dear friends, is that teaching true or false? True or false? False, of course. That kind of belief is erroneous. But friends, we who claim to believe in a Christ who is omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient, may have a faith that is at the extreme opposite end. And how do we show that? We show that we do not have real faith in the one true living God by not praying enough unto the Lord. Yes, and that is true. We say that we believe in Him. Yes, we believe that He's what He says He is. But in actual fact, we don't. Because if we do, my dear friends, we will be praying and we'll be praying and we'll be praying. We'll be praying without ceasing. Isn't that very true? Yes. Next, we see that Martha's faith was limited by her perception that the Lord Jesus Christ had to pray before He could act. He had to pray before He could perform any miracle. In other words, Martha thought that the Lord Jesus Christ didn't have the power in Himself to perform miracles. Yes, each time He wanted to perform a miracle, He had to draw power from Almighty God from heaven to Himself before He could perform that miracle. Now we detect this lack of faith in Him in verse 22. We look at verse 22. She says this, "But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee." In other words, she was saying, you do not have power in yourself. But I know that if you were to ask the Heavenly Father, He will give you that power. Yes, to her, the Lord was not God. To her, the Lord was a prophet, a mere man. Now my question to all of us here is, how do we perceive Christ? How do we perceive Christ? Do we see Him merely as a man, or do we see Him as the one true living God? Not just perceiving Him in the mind that He's the one true living God, but really perceiving Him in our heart, truly believing Him that He is the one true living God. Do we believe the Lord Jesus Christ is indeed the one true living God in our very heart? Do we do so, friends? Now we see another weakness of Martha's faith, in that it was limited by time. Her faith was limited by time. Time made the difference. Lord, if you only had been here earlier, my brother would not have died. You see, her faith was limited by time. 4 days have already passed now, Lord. Yes, since he died. So there is now no hope. There is nothing that can be done. Isn't our faith limited by time, friends, in the sense that we think that our God today does not act the way He did in time past? It was only in biblical times that the Lord performed miracles. Yes, it was only in biblical times that he parted the Red Sea for the children of Israel to cross over dry land. It was only in biblical times that God sent those 10 terrible plagues to afflict the land of Egypt. It was only in biblical times that during the time of Elijah and Elisha that God performed miracles. It was only in biblical times that Naaman dipped himself 7 times in the river Jordan at the instruction of Elijah for him to be healed of his leprosy. But miracles don't happen today. But friends, let's understand this truth. Our God is the same God. Then we say, if we wanted to experience miraculous power of God, we have to go back to ancient biblical times. But the truth is, God is the same today, yesterday, today, and forever. He is still the God of miracles. He is as able and faithful as he was before. And he will continue to be able and faithful as he was before. Now, to understand why miracles are not performed today by the Lord the way they were performed in ancient times, we must understand why miracles were performed in the first instance. You see, miracles were performed to authenticate the messages and the messenger that God sent in ancient times. Yes, don't forget, in those days, the Bible, whole Bible, was not written yet. Only parts of the Bible were written. Now, how were people going to believe that the prophets were representing the one true living God when they spoke? How were people to know? Now, God had to cause these prophets to perform great miracles so that people would believe the words of the prophets and recognize that they were prophets sent by God, and the messages that they preached were true messages sent from the one true living God. But today, we don't need those kind of miracles to prove that we are speaking the truth. Yes, if we speak the truth, and if you don't believe, I just have to point to you. If you don't believe what I say is true, you just have to look at the Bible. The Bible tells us that it's true. The Word of God has been completed. It tells us that this is true, therefore it must be true. We don't need any more miracles today. Yes, but friends, is God still performing miracles today? Is he? The answer is yes. And if he sees that it is his will to perform those miracles, or it is his will and for his glory and to the best of our interest, my dear friends, he will perform those miracles. Yes, don't forget, he is the God of miracles, and he's able to perform miracles if he so chooses to perform them. Also, we see her faith was weak. Martha's faith was weak in that it was limited by time in regards to the raising of Lazarus from the dead. Look at verses 23 and 24. Jesus saith unto Martha, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. What she was saying is this: I believe his rising from the dead will take place. But it will not take place now. It will take place in the future. Yes, it will take place at the time of the resurrection of the dead. But right now, my brother will not rise from the dead. She did not have the faith to believe that the Lord Jesus Christ, that very instance, could have raised Lazarus from the dead. Now, our faith seems to have that same kind of limitation also. We think that certain things can only happen in the future. They cannot happen now. Now, you take this truth, for example, that we shall be like him when we see him face to face. Right now, we are not like him yet. Right now, we are spiritually imperfect. And because we are spiritually imperfect, yes, we continue to sin because of the remnant of the sinful nature in us, because we are still under the power of sin, and so we continue to sin. But friends, yes, while this is true, that we still have the remnant of the sinful nature in us and that we will continue to sin. But this truth, my dear friends, should not cause us to resign ourselves to give excuses for our sins when we sin and say, I really cannot help it because of the remnant of the sinful nature in us. I have to sin, so I have to sin. I'm powerless against the dominion of sin. No, friends. Let us by faith believe that the Lord has not only saved us from the penalty of sin. Yes, it is true, He saved us from the penalty of sin. But let us also believe and realize that the Lord every day is saving us from the power of sin. Now answer this question. Today, are we still under the dominion of sin? Yes or no? Yes or no? Today we are not under the dominion of sin. Because the Word of God tells us very, very clearly, if we are saved, we are no longer servants of sin, right? Romans 6:6. So we are no longer under the dominion of sin. Which means this, my dear friends, today if we choose not to sin, we will not sin if we have the power of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus in Christ, Jesus Christ in us, to resist sinning. We will not sin because we have the power not to sin. Yes, the Lord every day is saving us from the power of sin. Although it is true, today we are still not sinlessly perfect. So let not our faith be limited by space. Let it not be limited by the wrong perception of the Lord Jesus Christ. And let not our faith be limited by time. Now that we have seen the weakness of Martha's faith, let us move on to see the reason for the weakness of Martha's faith. Now, the reason for the weakness of her faith is that her faith was based on an incomplete knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That was her basis of her faith, an incomplete knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, she saw the Lord Jesus Christ, as we said earlier on, only as a prophet, only as a man. So when the Lord Jesus Christ said in verse 23, "Thy brother shall rise again," she replied, "I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day." And the Lord Jesus Christ then had to declare this truth to her. "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this, Martha? I have the absolute power to raise people from the dead. I'm the source of life." Yes, the source of physical life, the source of spiritual life, the source of eternal life. Yes, yes, I am in fact the resurrection and the life. And he says, "Whosoever believeth in me shall never die." Yes, those who have died in me, the Lord Jesus Christ said, and who are buried today, they will rise up from the dead someday. I will raise them up. And the Lord Jesus Christ also said to those present at that time when he uttered these words, he says, "Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." Yes, if you are living today, you hear my word and you believe, although you will have to be buried into the ground someday, but you will only be buried for a while, but you will be raised up from the dead. And after you are raised up from the dead, you will never have to face the second death in the lake of fire. You will live on forever and ever. Yes. Do you believe this, Martha? The Lord posed the question to Martha. Now, having been shown by the Lord this truth, Martha then made this confession, verse 27. She says unto him, "Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world." She confessed that Jesus was the Messiah, the promised Messiah, the Messiah that was promised to the Jews, who would come into the world someday. Now that was a great confession made by her. But friends, she still did not grasp the whole truth that the Lord Jesus Christ had the power and the wherewithal to raise her brother from the dead. So when the Lord Jesus Christ asked for the stone to be moved from the tomb, she protested. Did you know she protested? Look at verses 39 and 40. Jesus said, "Take ye away the stone." Listen to what Martha said. "Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead for 4 days." Lord, you mustn't move that stone. He stinks now. He's been dead for 4 days now. Verse 40. Jesus saith unto her, "Said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou should see the glory of God?" The point is this, friends. Her faith was weak in that her knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ was incomplete. That's why she couldn't believe that the stone should be, she didn't agree that the stone should be moved. She didn't believe that the Lord Jesus Christ could raise Lazarus from the dead. Likewise, our faith would be weak if it is based on an incomplete knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Friends, let me ask you, what kind of knowledge do you have of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you know that he's perfect man and that he tasted death for every man? Do you know that he tasted death for you? Do you know that? Do you know that he died and that on the cross of Calvary and he secured salvation for you? Do you know that because he has secured salvation for you, you can never ever lose your salvation? Do you know that, my dear friends? And do you know that he is the perfect high priest, the one who cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities? So the word of God says this, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all ways tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He knows exactly what we are in need of. He was in all points tempted like as we are tempted, yet without sin. He tasted suffering, all kinds of sufferings on our behalf. He therefore is perfectly sympathetic with us. Do we know this truth, my dear friends? Do we know that he knows every of our aches and every of our pains? Yes, and if we truly believe, my dear friends, will not we have this faith to tell ourselves to come boldly unto God's wonderful throne of grace to obtain mercy, to find grace to help in time of need. Isn't it so? Yes, if we have this faith, and we believe that he's very, very sympathetic with us, then we will have this boldness to come before God's wonderful throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. It is because we do not have a complete knowledge of him, perhaps, that we do not have this faith, and so we don't dare to come boldly before God's throne of grace to pray unto him, to seek help from him, to seek blessings from him. And do you know that he ever liveth to make intercession for us? Today he is seated at the right hand of God, praying for us, yes, that we might be kept in the most holy faith. Do you know this truth, friends? Right now, do you know that he's praying for you, seated at the right hand of God? And so the word of God in 1 Peter 1:5 says, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. How is this power of God applied to us? This power of God is applied to us through the prayers of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He's praying for us today so that we might be kept in the most holy faith unto salvation, to be ready to be revealed in the last time. Kept for that great day when we will be like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the day when our salvation will be completed. And do you know that he's perfect God, perfect man, perfect God, that with him nothing is impossible, that he's all-knowing, all-powerful, he's present everywhere, that he's able and he's faithful? Friends, let us pray that we know this truth well, so that our knowledge in him may increase. And it is when our knowledge of him increases that our faith increases. And how can our knowledge of him increase? Except that we know his word, because his word reveals him to us. So it is very, very important that we read his word. When we read his word, we know him better, and when we know him better, our faith will increase. Now next, let us move on to see how Martha's faith was tested and strengthened. My third point. When her brother was sick, she and her sister Mary sent this message to the Lord Jesus Christ to let him know that their brother was sick. But the Lord, as we said, continued to stay by the bank of the river Jordan for another 2 days. And by the time, as we have already known, he came to the village of Bethany, Lazarus was already dead for 4 days. Now, what was possibly in Martha's mind when he sent that message to the Lord Jesus Christ? Lord, make haste, come quickly before my brother dies. Come and heal him now. But the Lord had the intention to test her faith so that her faith might be strengthened. What was the answer from the Lord? The answer from the Lord was simply this. Wait, Martha, wait. her patience had to be tested. Often when we pray unto the Lord, we have no patience at all. And when the Lord doesn't seem to answer our prayers, you know what we do? What we do straight away? The Lord doesn't seem to answer my prayer. So what do? Give up praying, of course. Isn't it true? Many times we do that. The Lord doesn't seem to answer, we give up. Yes. Friends, let us continue to pray and let us not give up. There was this lady who lost a very expensive diamond pendant at a theater. The next day she called this theater and the theater manager picked up the phone and the lady, without identifying herself, said, "I lost a very expensive diamond pendant. Did any one of your theater staff find this pendant?" The theater manager said, "You just wait, hold on the phone, I go and check." So this lady was supposed to hold on to the phone and this theater manager went to check. And after a few minutes, he came back and he literally shouted into the phone, "I've got good news for you, I've got good news for you. Yes, we found the diamond pendant. Hello, hello, are you there?" She was not there. She hung up the phone. She didn't have the patience to wait. Friends, aren't we like this in our prayer requests? Often we don't exercise patience. But that's exactly what the Lord wants us to do. Exercise patience. He tries our faith to cause us to exercise patience. For what purpose, friends? Exercise patience for what purpose? Exercise patience to cause our faith to be perfected, to cause our faith to mature. That's the purpose for us to exercise patience, my dear friends. And the Lord wants us to exercise patience. And so we read this in James chapter 1. Yes, those who have been studying the book of James will have come across these two verses in our Bible study at our Agape Gathering North. Yes, James chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. James 1, 3 and 4. Okay, let me read these two verses for you. "Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." The Lord wants us to exercise patience so that patience will do its perfecting work, so that our faith will become matured through the exercising of our patience. Now the Lord's timing in answering the prayer, our prayers, is the best. Never too late, never too early. As we have seen, his delay in coming to Bethany was purposeful. He was late in coming. In whose eyes? Of course in the eyes of Mary and Martha. But his timing was perfect. He delayed his coming so that Lazarus would have died, so that he could demonstrate his power to raise up Lazarus from the dead. And he delayed his coming to the village of Bethany so that these truths could be uttered from his lips, the truth which has been a great blessing to saints throughout the ages. "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." Now we see that her faith was tested through the grief and the sorrow that she experienced. Yes, she had to go through this grief and the burden of seeing her brother suffering and dying. Now sometimes sickness is allowed to come our way or to our loved ones. Yes, for what purpose? As we said in the last message, to remind us of the brevity of life, how short life is. Yes, and it is to remind us that without Him, we are nothing and can do nothing. And that it is also to cause us to stop depending on ourselves, but to depend on Him. That's the purpose for allowing us to get sick, so that we'll rely on Him, so that our faith in Him will increase. Now, her faith was tested through the death of her brother. Now, when death strikes a member of our home, we see the greatest reality of life. Now, what is the greatest reality of life? What's the greatest reality of life? The greatest reality of life is death, of course. When we don't come face to face with death, we actually live in a very unreal manner. We think that our life on this earth is going to go on and on and on and on, right? So what do people do? They build their empires on this earth and think that their empires are going to last forever. Now, of course, not many of us can build empires on this earth, but we have our little niches that we build. And we live in a very unreal manner, and we think that the niches that we build are going to last forever. And some seek fame and think that it is going to last forever. Some seek power, some seek wealth, some seek social status, and think that all these are going to last forever. But when we come face to face with death, we see the reality of life. And we see the things that are under the sun for what they really are, very temporal. And so the wise man, King Solomon, tells us this truth concerning the reality of life. He said, all the things that are under the sun are really very temporal. They are really vanity of vanities. They are in fact nothing. And so he teaches us this truth. I'd like us to turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verses 2 to 4. All right, 2 to 4. Ecclesiastes 7, 2 to 4. Yes, the wise man says, it is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. For that is the end of all men, and the living will lay to his heart. Sorrow is better than laughter. For by the sadness of the countenance of the heart, for by the sadness of the countenance, the heart is made better. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of mirth. Yes, coming face to face with death, the death of a loved one, will cause us to be drawn close to the Lord. Yes, it is true, right? When we have a loved one who has passed away in the Lord, yes, when we step into the house of mourning, we are drawn close to the Lord because one of our loved ones has gone home to be with the Lord. Our faith will grow in that this truth becomes more real and more meaningful. And what is this truth that becomes more real and more meaningful? And this truth is this: to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. This truth becomes more real and more meaningful to us. Now, without coming face to face with death, often this truth registers as what? Words, merely words. Maybe this truth registers in our mind, but it doesn't register in the heart. But when we come face to face with death, my dear friends, this truth registers in our heart. Yes, we know that our loved one has now gone home to be with the Lord. And this truth becomes very, very real to us. And when this truth becomes real to us, what happens to our faith? Our faith, of course, becomes more real. Yes, our faith is strengthened. Yes, we realize that when we pass away from this earth, we are not going to be lost forever. Yes, our soul goes immediately into the arms of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So we see the weakness of Martha's faith. It was limited by what? By space, by time, by her perception that the Lord was a mere man, a prophet. So what kind of faith do we have, my dear friends? Let our faith not be limited by space. Let us realize that our Lord is near. He is not far away. He is with us today, as he is in us today. And let us be sure that our faith not be limited by time. Let us understand and believe that what the Lord could do in time past, he can do today. And let us also believe also that we do not have to wait till the day when our salvation is perfected to live lives that are completely free from the power of sin. Today, if we choose not to sin, we are able not to sin because we are no longer under the dominion of sin, and that the Lord Jesus Christ every day is saving us from the power of sin. And then we see that her faith was based on an incomplete knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is why her faith was not that strong. Friends, our faith could be weak because we do not have a complete knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We do not know him well enough. But how can we know him well? There is only one way for us to know him well, and that is to study his word. Know his word. And when we know his word well, we will know him well, and when we know him well, our faith will increase. And we see how the Lord progressively strengthened the faith of Martha. He let Martha exercise her faith. He allowed her to go through the testing of going through the pain of sorrowing and witnessing the death of her brother. He let her go through that experience, knowing, let her go through the experience of knowing that it was better to, for her to go into the house of mourning than to the house of feasting. Now the Lord may allow us to go through such experiences, such trials in our life, in order that our faith may be strengthened. Then the Lord revealed to her that wonderful truth, that he was not a prophet, not just a prophet, not just a mere man, but he is the one who had the power of resurrection. He is indeed resurrection itself. In other words, you know what the Lord was telling Martha? I'm God. You know, that was what he was telling her. I'm God. Do you believe that, Martha? Now the Lord may have to allow us to go through such trials in life so that we may know who he is, so that our faith may be strengthened. So when we are going through trials, let us understand that the Lord has got a good purpose for us, namely to strengthen our faith in him. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we pray that you teach us to love you and to serve you well. Lord, we pray that when we are going through trials, enable us to realize that you are close to us. You are only a prayer away. Help us to realize that you are allowing us to go through trials for the purpose of testing our faith to cause our faith to grow. Oh Lord God, we pray that we may always realize this truth. And Lord, we pray that by your grace and by your mercies, you will strengthen our faith for your glory. In Jesus' blessed name we pray. Amen.